Bill Flores joins us this morning from D.C. Good morning, Bill. How are you?
Good morning, Scott. Great to be on News Talk 1620.
Yeah, I'd like to delve right in. I know y'all are going to be busy. I'd like to hop right into the tax package that y'all are trying to put together. And, you know, there are two components to this, I guess, corporations and businesses and individuals. And as you see it right now, what kind of a revamping of the U.S. tax code do you see on the horizon?
Well, for the rest of the lame duck, I see no revamping. And the tax extender package that we have on the floor in the next couple of days is just really an extension of everything that was that expired at the end of last year, including things like tax credits for race or tax advantages for racehorses and NASCAR, wind production credits and things like that. And so, you know, there's lots of good things in there, like the R&D tax credit. There's the Section 179 expensing and also accelerated depreciation, which help businesses create jobs. But then the ugly things in there make it, I don't know how I'm going to vote on this. I'm really sort of not happy with it, let's put it that way. And my preference would have been to strip out some of those less desirable tax characteristics and put them in a separate bill and let people actually put a stake in the ground on those. But I don't get to call all the shots around here, unfortunately.
Does it get to be a two-step process? Because I know that Congressman Ryan is saying that if we take a focus on business right now and take care of that, and we'll take care of individuals later, then we're looking maybe 2 years down the road, maybe longer than that. Is that an approach that you think can bear some fruit?
Well, it is an approach that can work. Most of us, I think, that are conservatives would like to do it all at one time. And the reason for that is if you just do corporate tax reform or business tax reform, then we've got all these businesses out there that operate as pass-throughs, partnerships and LLCs and LLPs and so forth. And so they get stuck with the really high individual tax rates. And so my preference would be to reform individual taxation and corporate taxation all at the same time. But at the end of the day, I think whatever it takes to get it done is the best way to go. Is the better way to go, rather, and so we can't get too tied up and perfect. And so if Chairman Ryan, Paul Ryan, thinks that a two-step process is the best way, then I'm fine with working on that. But my preference would still be to do omnibus tax reform.
Bill Flores joining us from D.C. Well, one of the things that just to pass to get it done that I don't think will sit very well with active service members is apparently House and Senate Armed Services Committees have gotten together for the 2015 National Defense Authorization Act, and Military.com tells us that this means that the pay raise that was going to be 1.8% is now going to be 1%, that their BAH, which is their basic allowance for housing, is going to go down, and then also the amount of money that they're going to have to pay for their copays on insurance for pharmaceuticals bought off base is going to go up. Again, this is active military.
Right.
I have to believe that's something that should not sit well with many, many members of Congress. How do you feel about this?
Well, I think you're right. There are several issues that are going to cause concern for members of Congress. I'm not too fussed about the pay raise because the military the military pay raises over the last 12 years have been over and above what the American public's received and over and above what most governmental employees have received.
But Bill, so, they're not walking around with a gun in their hand.
I agree.
Having to defend us.
No, I agree with that. I agree with all those things, too. But if you look at what's happened is that every time you raise military pay by 1%, the tail that you have that gets to pay for by the taxpayers in terms of retirement benefits and so forth really grows exponentially. And so we have to be careful what we do there. Now, on the other hand, you know, what I am concerned about are the increases in copays and also the decreases in base housing allowances. So those are areas where I don't think we ought to be changing the formulas today. So again, I think anybody who gets a pay raise today is in better shape than your typical American family is. And so I'm fine with the pay raises the way they are. But again, I'm not very happy with the changes in the base housing allowance or the copay situation.
We probably ought to talk about, since last we spoke, you got a new committee assignment, and it's a powerful committee, and I think one probably you're pretty well suited for.
Yeah, so I was put on the Energy and Commerce Committee, which is the committee that I wanted to be on since I joined Congress 4 years ago. And it has a huge breadth of responsibility over things that are important to the United States economy. Energy's a bit one. Telecommunications is another one. Healthcare. We also have jurisdiction on the EPA, And I'm looking forward to my role as being responsible for trying to get the EPA reined back in to use some sound science and proper cost benefit analyses. So those, it's a place where I'm suited, and I think I can add real value and make lives better for hardworking American families.
And I'm thinking that part of that reason was because Ralph Hall was defeated. That was a Texas guy and had been on that committee for a while, and that's the slot that you were able to move into and ends up keeping the same number of Texans on there, which is, what, five or six on that committee?
We have four Republican Texans and one or two Democratic Texans on the committee. And so, yes, I moved into the seat that became available when Ralph Hall lost in his primary.
And while we're talking about that, you were quoted in a Houston Chronicle story over the weekend about the size of the number of Republicans in the Texas delegation, that there are now six committee members, committee chairmen, who are from Texas. And, of course, your position as far as the Republican Study Group chairmanship, there's a real influence now, political influence, that's growing back in Washington that a bunch of folks from Texas.
Really, and it's really what needs to happen, because for a couple of reasons. Number one, Texas is the second largest state in terms of the congressional delegation overall. We are also the largest conservative delegation in Congress by a long shot. And so I think it just reflects the population impact, if you will, of where we should be. But secondly, if you look at the Texas model of doing business, we've had a growing economy, much faster. We've produced, almost 35% of the jobs that have been produced over the last few years. And I think it's important to take that success and be able to use those Texas models in Washington moving forward. Really our breadth of influence goes deeper than what you talked about. We've got six committee chairs. We've got me as Republican Study Committee chairman, which is the biggest conservative caucus in all of Congress, the biggest caucus of all in Congress, and certainly the most conservative. And then we have three cardinals or subcommittee chairs and appropriations, and they wield huge power. And then we've got John Cornyn, who's the majority whip in the Senate. So, we Texas sort of got put out in Siberia after Dick Armey and Tom DeLay left Congress, and we're just now getting that back. Now, I think it's important that we as Texans use this carefully and not use it boastfully, but use it in a way that makes life better for families and not to toot our own horns.
But one of the other things that was discussed in that article was the fact that, in fact, party leadership is the one that sets the agenda now, and that possibly the job the chairman had before, because you don't have the amendments and the pork barrel legislation as before, because leadership is setting the agenda, does that kind of change the influence that those chairmen have?
Well, see, I disagree with that comment in the Chronicle. That's not really true. I mean, if you look at our leadership today in the House, John Boehner's firm is he wants the House to work its will, and it works its will by going through regular order. And regular order is where the legislation comes up through the committee process, is heard by the committees, and then comes to the House floor. And by and large, we do that. Now, there are occasional exceptions where leadership interferes with the process and does things that sort of stick in all of our throats. But by and large, the committee chairs still wield a lot of power. Now, I will tell you this, since the appropriations model has changed and there are no earmarks anymore, in some ways there is less influence among the appropriators than there used to be. But that, I think that's okay. I mean, the American public doesn't like earmarks, and nor do I. Somewhere we're going to have to find the right way for Congress to do its constitutional duty of appropriations and not cede that power to the executive branch.
Sure.
Overall, I think the article was incorrect on that one particular aspect.
I call it pork barrel. Earmark is the more politically correct term, I guess, to say. Cool. Is there anything else that we need to cover this morning?
Well, we're also going to have to, we've got to fund the government, and that legislation will probably come up next week. And we can talk about it on Wednesday of next week when we get ready to, because it's going to be a complicated process to go through.
Surely, we'll do that. Bill Flores joins us most every Wednesday. You can hear the entire interview archived on our website at WTAW.com. Appreciate the time this morning, Bill.
Great talk to you, Scott. I'd ask your listeners to continue praying for our country and our military men and women.
Thank you.
Visit us on the web at ctwp.com.
Focus on the Family is